And well, turning your Bibles to Psalm 67, we turn from one prayer for revival in Habakkuk 3 to another prayer of revival in Psalm 67. Seems like it's practical and relevant for the day and for our times. Praying for God to bring back prosperity to His people, spiritual revival, advance of His kingdom. This is going to be a short sermon on praying for revival. It's better to spend long in prayer and little on preaching when we're talking about prayer. But we're going to see in Psalm 67 several petitions, the humble address that we ought to be making daily to God in prayer for His kingdom. The Christian life is certainly a life of prayer. Through Christ, we have access into the presence of God, and we have the privilege as well as the duty to pray, to call upon the name of God, to pray for His blessing, to pray for Christ's glory and kingdom. So there are many passages in Scripture which exhort us to a life of watchful prayer. Of course, Jesus even said to the disciples, "Watch and pray, for you do not know the hour the Lord is coming." We're to be watchful and pray at all times, to continue steadfastly in prayer. This is true when it comes to revival. We are to continue steadfastly in praying for revival. We're to seek God's blessing upon the church, upon the nation. And that is why Psalm 67, while it is so simple, is yet so instructive to us as it relates to praying for revival. Now, Psalm 67, a psalm of David in which he prays, saying, "God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known on the earth, Your salvation among all the nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God, let all the peoples praise You. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise You, O God, let all the peoples praise You, and the earth shall yield her increase. God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him." This is a notable psalm, not only to be sung, of course, but to be prayed. It's a simple psalm, a prayer of 7 verses. We saw last week that David no doubt wrote this psalm in the midst of some great calamity, some crisis in the midst of his kingdom, the time of his rule in which God brought judgment upon the children of Israel. David likely wrote it at a time in which there was some kind of calamity or backsliding, apostasy from the truth, a time in which surely there was no spiritual and economic prosperity in the land. You can see by David's words. David prays for God's mercy, for God's blessing, for His face to shine upon His people and to turn them from sin. And he prays for the conversion of the Gentiles, that His knowledge would be made known among all the nations and that all of the peoples would praise the Lord and come to worship Him. Now, David was certainly looking in hope, of course, to the coming of Christ and the establishment of His kingdom, a time of revival and spiritual blessing, and therefore it certainly is a messianic psalm in which speaks of Christ, His glory, the coming of revival, the power of His ministry. But in this way, the psalm encourages and instructs us to be faithful in praying for revival, even now that Christ has come and established His kingdom. We're to continue to pray, to be watchful in prayer, even as this psalm instructs us. Martin Lloyd-Jones once said, "The first indication of a true and genuine concern for revival is the work of prayer and a spirit of supplication. For until there is unceasing prayer in the church, there will not be lasting revival in the land." And so we're to continually pray. And certainly we know that in this time of ours is a good time to be praying, praying for revival among the churches as well as revival in the land. Well, there are at least 6 petitions that can be readily derived from this psalm as it relates to praying for revival. Notice, first of all, that we are to begin by praying for God's mercy. Notice David cries out to God first, saying, "God, be merciful to us and bless us." We're to pray for God's mercy. We're to humble ourselves before God in acknowledgement of our sin, the sin and the guilt of the land, and the moral decline, the depravity of the nation, as well as the growing and increased corruption in the church. This is what Habakkuk prayed for. "In Your wrath, O Lord, remember mercy." If there's anything the church and the nation needs right now, we need God's mercy. mercy to save, mercy to forgive, mercy to redeem, to deliver, mercy to cleanse and to sanctify, mercy to bring revival. Because sinners are always in need of God's mercy. And David is acknowledging, of course, his sin, the church and the kingdom's sin. And sin brings not only corruption, of course, but also guilt and bondage. And so David prays for mercy. God be merciful. He prays for mercy upon the church and kingdom. And notice he says, God be merciful to us, to forgive us, to forgive our sins, to show us grace, even though we are deserving of judgment. Because what do we deserve? We deserve judgment. In Psalm 62, verse 12, David also prayed, saying, to you, O Lord, belongs mercy. And therefore, be merciful. We're always to remember God's mercy in our prayers because we have forfeited His favor by our sins. And so we are always and continually to pray for mercy, for His grace, because of our sin and disobedience. And certainly now, the state of the church and the state of the nation calls us to pray for God's mercy. There are numerous times in Scripture, of course, when we're exhorted to. You think about Abraham. You remember Abraham prayed to the Lord for mercy for the sake of Lot. He prayed before the Lord that he wouldn't destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember how solemn that was. It seems like we're living in not too different a time as that. Because sin and idolatry in the land beckons us to pray for God's mercy. Because of sin and guilt, God brings judgment. And so we're to pray for mercy. We're to pray that God would show mercy to those that are lost. Mercy to the church and for those that are backslidden. Mercy to the apostate and those that have rebelled against the Lord. Mercy for the sake of God to bring revival. To bring revival to the church and to His people. Augustine said, whenever there is great sin and misery in the land, there is the need to diligently pray for grace and mercy from the Lord. There is certainly a lot of sin and misery in the land. And so we call upon God for mercy. Oh God, remember Your mercy, right? Bless us. All our hopes, all of our aspirations, all of the strength and happiness in our life really comes from God's grace and mercy. And so we need to, in our praying for revival, begin with God's mercy. But notice we are to pray for God's blessing as well. Notice David goes on in his prayer to say, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. You see, we not only need to pray for God's mercy, but also for His blessing. We need God's blessing upon our lives, upon the church, upon the nation, His favor, His face to shine upon us. You see, there is a cover of spiritual darkness over the land, over the churches and the nation. There's a blight of sin, a spiritual darkness that has brought a great deal of misery. It's like the curse of God that has come upon the nation because people have forsaken the Lord for false gods, trusting in idols to save them. And so we need to pray for God's blessing, not only for His mercy, but for His blessing. Thomas Manton said, for God to bless us is a comprehensive prayer to confer upon us all of the necessary goodness that God has within Himself and that we need to secure for our peace and happiness in Him through Christ. It's a general prayer. And so notice the progression in David's prayer for first mercy and then for God's blessing and His face to shine upon us. You see, God is rich in blessing. And He's ready and willing to bless us and to bless the land, to bless the nation, to bless His people, to bless the churches. He has grace and wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. And we need His presence and favor, if ever. Right? In Exodus 33:15, you remember that Moses prayed to the Lord for God's blessing, His favor, and His presence to go with the people into the promised land. And he said, if Your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up here. You know, what Moses was saying, he knew that without God's blessing, it would end in utter failure. You know, the Israelites were going to enter the promised land and conquer the Canaanites without God's blessing and favor. Without God's blessing and favor, we're all in big trouble. And so we need to ask for God's mercy, and we need to ask for God's blessing. We need His blessing. We need His face to shine upon us, His presence to go with us, to guide us. Right? Now, that's for the church. Right? David is praying for himself and for his kingdom. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Because God's face does not always shine upon His church and people. Right? In Psalm 31, verse 16, David says, "Make Your face to shine upon Your servant, O Lord. Save me, deliver me for Your mercy's sake." David is praying that. Why? Because David often found himself led and tempted to sin. Right? In Psalm 80, verse 3, Asaph prays saying, "Restore us, O God, and cause Your face to shine, and we shall be saved. We will be restored. Restore us." How? By causing Your face to shine. Right? In Daniel 9, 17, Daniel prayed to the Lord, praying similarly. He said, "Now therefore, O God, hear the prayer of Your servant and his supplication, and cause Your face to shine upon Your sanctuary, because it is desolate." Notice Daniel's prayer, right? We're to pray for God's blessing, His face to shine upon us, upon His church, upon His sanctuary. Why? Because it's desolate. It needs to be restored, right? God's people need to shine, right? Arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, Isaiah says. And so notice all of these petitions, all of these prayers in Scripture for revival, right? For God's blessing, right? For His favor to return to His people. We need to pray regularly, right? Look at the state and the condition of God's churches, the sanctuary. It's in a state of desolation. And so we are praying for God's blessing. But notice, thirdly, we're to pray for God's kingdom. Now David goes on to pray saying, "Cause Your face to shine upon us, O Lord, that Your way may be known and on the earth, Your salvation among all the nations." Now notice that David moves from praying for God's favor upon Israel, upon His kingdom, for God's favor and blessing upon the nations. The advance of His kingdom. Right? It's a prayer for the conversion of the Gentiles. The calling of the nations to the knowledge of the Lord. That the way of the Lord may be known to them and that they would come to Christ for salvation. Right? We should be praying for the lost. Now, we're to pray for revival, but when praying for revival, we're to pray for the conversion of the lost. Because there are so many thousands, so many millions that are lost without Christ. And we're to pray that God would open their hearts, that He would save them from their sin, deliver them from darkness, that He would make His way known to them in all of the earth, His salvation to all the nations. And so we're to pray for the advance of God's kingdom, that Christ would be exalted in the salvation of the lost, that the knowledge of the Lord would extend to all the nations of the world. And so we're to pray for God's mercy and blessing, not only upon us, but upon them, for God's kingdom to be extended to others. We pray, "Thy kingdom come." Right? Jesus prayed continually for the lost. He looked over the harvest and saw that it was ripe. In John 17, He prayed saying, "I pray not for these alone, Father, who have believed, but for them also, which shall believe on Me through Your word." Right? We're to pray for the lost. We're to pray, as David said in Psalm 43, saying, "O Lord, send out Thy light and Thy truth." Right? Send Thy word abroad. Bring the lost to the knowledge of the truth. Now, we're not only to preach it, we're to pray it. We're to pray for the salvation of the nations. That which is promised in God's word, that Christ will be made known, His knowledge will extend to all the nations, it is to be our prayers. Right? Psalm 2, "Ask of Me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance." Christ will inherit the nations. It will be given to Him by God the Father. That's where to pray. We're to pray for that. Right? We're to pray for God's kingdom in advance, to the conversion of the nations, that God's face would shine upon those that are lost and bring them out of their sin and darkness. Tertullian once said this: "We should seek in our prayers not only God's blessing upon our own lives and endeavors, but also for God's grace and mercy to those who are lost." And that's the spirit of Christian love and charity, that we not only pray for our own lives, but we pray for others. And when we continually pray, that God would make His salvation known among the nations. Because in praying for revival, we're not only praying for the renewal of the church, God's blessing, His face to shine upon His people, but also for the conversion of the lost. This means that we're to pray for the nations. We're to certainly pray for individuals that are lost, but we're also to pray for the nations that are lost. You know, I thought about this because it's very simple. We can pray for the nations and fulfill this prayer by praying daily in the week. Pray for North America on Sunday. South America on Monday, Europe on Tuesday, Africa on Wednesday, Asia on Thursday, Australia on Friday, and you know the rest of the world on Saturday, and the penguins in Antarctica. But we can pray. We can pray weekly for God's kingdom, that He would cause His face to shine on upon us, and that His way would be known in all the earth and His salvation among all the nations. Because we hope, pray, and expect Christ's kingdom to come in power and victory and glory, notwithstanding the times of declension that we live in now. And then fourthly, notice we're to pray for God's worship. David goes on to say, "Let all the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For You shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth." Notice that David not only prays for God to save the nations, but also to establish His worship among the nations. You see, when we pray for revival, we're praying for God to give people a heart to worship Him, to praise Him, to glorify Him, right? To be glad and sing for joy. It's a call to worship, actually, just as many of David's psalms are. Right? In John 4, Jesus said, "The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him." Well, we're to pray for God to bring revival to His church and to establish His worship, His ordinances, the gospel, that people would sing for joy and gather together in assemblies to give God glory. That's what David is praying for. We're praying for God's worship, for the ordinances of the gospel, not only for the reform of God's worship, but the joy of worship. Notice, "Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples gather together and sing Your praise and shout for joy." Why? Because Christ rules the nations. Right now, this is with the nature and intent of many of David's psalms. They're prayers to God that He would be glorified in the worship of His people as well as of all the nations. Right? And many of them, are, of course, are calls to worship. Calls to the nations of all the earth to come and worship before Him. Right? Psalm 95, "Oh, come and let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." Right? A call to worship. Psalm 105, "Oh, give thanks and call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people." Right? There are many psalms of David, of course, that are a call of worship to the nations, which is very striking because they are all messianic and they are all calls to bring worship to Christ because He is the everlasting King. You see, revival has a lot to do with worship. It has a lot to do with the Lord's Day. You know, times of declension, times of economic decline, right, are also times, of course, of spiritual decline when worship is neglected because of necessities, right? Times of revival are times when God's worship is publicly and universally attended and acknowledged, is honored. And so notice David is praying. He's no doubt praying, probably in the wilderness, thinking, "I got to get back to the temple in Jerusalem and gather the saints together. Let all the peoples praise You, O God, and all the peoples praise You, and let the nations be glad and sing for joy." Right? Listen to what Matthew Henry said on this verse. He says, "We're to pray that the nations might be incorporated into solemn assemblies and might praise God in a body, that they might altogether praise Him on the earth. And thus, the face of true religion appears upon a land when God is publicly glorified and the ordinances of Christ's religious worship are duly celebrated in the churches." And that's what David is praying for. David is praying for revival in the church. Does there need to be revival in the church? Yeah, right? Because worship is not often attended, right? We need to pray that God's churches would be filled, that all the peoples of the earth would come to worship Him and shout for joy and praise Him and glorify Him, right? We're to pray for God's worship. Notice, fifthly, we're to pray also for God's rule. Notice David goes on to say in verse 4, "For You shall judge the people righteously, O Lord, and govern the nations on the earth." Now notice here, David continues his prayer to include God's rule to be exercised in and over all the nations. Right? In praying for revival, notice, we're to pray for God's mercy. We're to pray for God's blessing, for His face to shine. We're to pray for the advance of God's kingdom, the conversion of the lost. We're to pray for God's worship to be established. And notice, We're also to pray for God's rule to be established over the nations. Notice the progress. Mercy, grace, blessing, right? Conversion of the lost, the worship of God, and now the glorious rule and dominion of Christ over the nations. You see, we're to pray for Christ to extend his rule, his government, and authority over the nations of the world. You see, this is a messianic psalm. It certainly looks forward, as many of David's psalms do, look forward to the day when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ is not only exalted to the throne of God after his resurrection, but in the end, in the future, anticipating the time in which Christ comes again in judgment and is exalted over all the nations. And so he is praying for the hastening of that day when Christ will judge the world in righteousness. And he rules over all the nations. You see, we're to pray for that. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? We're to pray that God would be glorified in his Son ruling the nations, establishing by his power and sovereignty and authority the gospel over the nations. Right? You know, I think many Christians are hesitant and don't realize how often that is the central focus of prayers in the Old Testament, that Christ would rule the nations, that his sovereignty and his dominion would extend from sea to shining sea, just as we sing in the hymn, Jesus shall reign. That's actually a prayer from the Psalms. And so we're to pray not only for God's mercy and blessing, for the conversion of the lost and the Gentiles, for God's worship in the church, we're to pray for Christ's dominion to extend to all the nations. Right? Look at Psalm 72, which is David's blessing upon Solomon, a prayer for dominion that Christ would rule over the nations. And so we're to pray to that end, right? That he puts all things under his feet, puts an end to all rule and authority and power, and brings everything captive to the obedience of his word. As the hymn says, oh, the joy to see thee reigning, thee, my own beloved Lord, every tongue thy name confessing, worship, honor, glory, blessing, brought to thee with glad accord. Thee, my master and my friend, vindicated and enthroned unto earth's remotest end, glorified, adored, and owned. We want to pray for Christ's rule and dominion over the world. That's what we're praying for in revival, and certainly we need that. But then finally, notice, we're to pray for God's glory. Notice David says in his prayer, let all the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, even our own God, shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. God's glory, the end and design of our prayer. He says the same as his ultimate purpose in the world, that he would manifest his glory, that he would be glorified in all the earth. You see, it's that men may praise him, fear him, love him, trust and worship him, all in order that they might glorify him. Right? That's David's prayer. That's what we pray for in revival. Right? When we pray that God would bring revival, we're praying that God would be glorified in all the earth, that he would show forth his glory. You know, this was David's heart and desire in the midst of calamity, barrenness, in the wilderness, that God would be glorified. Right? That's our end. That's our life. In Psalm 57, verse 11, he prayed this, saying, be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let thy glory be over all of the earth. Right? That's a simple prayer that we could be praying regularly, because we don't see it today. Right? Christ's design, the reason for his coming, the reason for his death and resurrection, was all that he would glorify the Father, that he would manifest his glory in all the world. And therefore, Jesus prayed for God to be glorified in his life. Right? In John 17, the high priestly prayer, he says, Father, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. You see, Jesus prayed for God to reveal and manifest his glory, that he would be glorified in his own work and ministry. And that's what Jesus taught us, of course, in the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, both now and forevermore. We should always keep our mind not on the circumstances of the world. That can get you really depressed, right? If we think about the glory of God, the privilege and blessing that God has given to us in Christ to be agents of manifesting His glory, praying for the extension of His glory in all the world. That's inspiring. That's encouraging. That lifts us up above the declension, the times of evil, the times in which that would otherwise bring us discouragement and despair. We're brought bright hope. The glory of God is manifested when we pray. What are we praying for? Revival. We're praying for God to be glorified in all the world. Thomas Watson said, "It is our chief duty in life, as well as our primary petition in prayer, that God may be in all things glorified." And so when we pray for revival, we're to pray for God to be glorified, that His name would be hallowed, that all the people would praise Him, fear Him, love Him, trust Him, and obey Him, because that's the end and design for God in the world, right? This is why Christ was sent into the world, and this is our design in life, right? And so we know, notice in the psalm, we know that when God's mercy is given, when His face shines, His blessing is received, His kingdom is advanced, His worship is honored, and His rule is established in the earth through Jesus Christ, then truly His glory will be revealed and will cover the earth. That's what David is praying for. What a noble prayer. What an immensely inspiring prayer that even now teaches us to pray for revival, to set our hearts on the things of God, right? God's mercy, God's grace and blessing, God's kingdom, God's church, His worship, His rule and glory to be established through Jesus Christ and the gospel. Because the Christian life is a life of prayer. Right? We are to pray. A vital part of our life now in prayer is praying for revival. George Whitefield said, "Revival is a blessing that is won only by prayers." And so if we want revival, if we expect revival, certainly in our own lives and families, we're to pray. But we should desire it for the churches. We should desire it for the nation. And to pray for God's mercy, to pray for God's blessing, for His kingdom, for His worship, His rule, and His glory to be established in all the earth through Jesus Christ. And in looking at this psalm and in all of our prayers, to look to Christ and pray, "God, be merciful to us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known on earth, Your salvation among all the nations. So let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him." Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we do bless You and we thank You for Your grace and mercy that shines upon our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Father, this night we do pray that You would cause Your face to shine upon Your church and people, that You'd bring revival and reformation to the land, that You would cause the people to praise You and worship before You, that You would bring the conversion of the Gentiles and bring repentance and salvation to the land, to our nation. We pray for the leaders of our land and nation. We pray Your blessing upon them, that they would be turned from sin and idolatry to faith and victory in Jesus Christ, that You would be glorified. And Father, we pray that our lives might be sanctified by Your word and grace as we seek Your face and blessing, that Your kingdom would come and Your will would be done for the glory and the honor and praise of Your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.